Heavenly love, Hosanna, please help me. I was astray, so sad and alone. I looked above, my burdens all left me. Now I can't say, heaven's my home. Heavenly love, the love of the Lord. For he is my sword and shield, giving me light in darkness of night. Heavenly love, heavenly love. Troubles of earth so often will take me. Burdens of life with heartache and care. Heavenly love will never forsake me. Failing my knee, Jesus is there. Heavenly love, the love of the Lord. Lifting above, for he is my sword and shield, giving me light in darkness of night. Heavenly love, heavenly love. When I shall stand at Jordan's dark river, shadows of night are gathering above. There is a power I know will deliver. Heavenly love, the love of the Lord, lifting above, for he is my sword and shield, giving me light in darkness of night. Heavenly love, heavenly love.
Really hope that over the week ensuing since our last study together that you have taken the advice I offered to you last Lord's Day and been praying for our country. There are many things that are going on that we don't see the current of yet. In our world, there is a lot of trouble, a lot of struggle. We cannot go without praying. We cannot sin by avoiding praying for this world that we are a part of. I do not hold out any unrealistic expectation that all of a sudden everybody's just going to love everybody. But the truth of the matter is that God intervenes when his people pray. Now, God will accomplish his will. Let's understand that. The prayers that we offer will not turn God around from the will that he must and should accomplish. What can we do? We can pray for our leaders. We can pray for our citizens. We can pray for our own perspective, our own understanding of God. The only solution to the ails of the world, what ails this world today, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not find peace through just being willing to accept everybody around you. It doesn't work from the inside out. You got to change who a person is for there to be a change in how they act. Matthew chapter 7, we begin at verse 21 and read to the end of the chapter. I told you last Lord's Day, and we're going to do that. We're going to talk about the building of houses today. For those of you that don't know me well, my father for many years was a carpenter. They call them contractors now. Dad was the kind of carpenter that did everything from the start to finish. I remember helping him dig footings. I remember helping him do all kinds of work from one end of the building of a house to the other through wiring and all the things involved, brickwork, masonry, all kinds of things. What I understood about Dad was that he had a basic idea of what would be when he was finished. and he knew where he had to start in order to build it. Dad was good at blueprints. He could look at blueprints and see and understand and build a house to match what the blueprint showed. All of these things were a part of his life. It was second nature to him. There is a blueprint for life. The blueprint for life is the revelation of God. When a person chooses the revelation of God as the guide of their life, there is a underlying stability that's in their life. If a person chooses against the Word of God, there is an underlying instability in their life. There are things bigger than one who is not connected to God can deal with. There is nothing in life that one who keeps their connection to God cannot deal with. You must understand that Jesus is talking about what our life means in eternity. Listen to what he says. Matthew 7, beginning at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, before we go any further in understanding this, I want to point out that Jesus said something else earlier in this chapter that has a direct bearing on this. Now, when you consider life with God, life without God, how many people choose God? Would you say that across the world, the majority choose God and the minority stand against him? A lot of people believe that. They believe that anybody in any fashion that names God as a part of their life is okay. Look back in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 13 and 14. Listen to a statement that Jesus makes. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now notice he's contrasting destruction and life. He's talking about many and few, many going toward destruction, few going toward life. Do you remember the destruction that we looked at in the story here that we just read about the two houses? Look at verse 27. The same rains, the same floods, the same winds that slammed against the house built on the rock, slammed against the house built on the sand, and it fell, and great was its fall. Do you understand that what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, 13, and 14 is that when it comes down to it, the vast majority of people will not have anything to do with God? Now, a lot of people say, whoa, now everybody believes in God to some degree, in some way. Does it make you right with God just because you claim God? Well, let's go to the words of Jesus for the answer. Look at verse 21, how verse 21 starts. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Is Jesus being unkind? Is he being rude, arrogant, and hateful, and legalistic? How would you describe what Jesus is doing here? Here's people that say, now look at what verse 22 says. People that say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, perform many miracles? And Jesus said, I don't know who you are. How can he do that? How can it be that Jesus would turn away someone that was looking at him? Well, depends on the kind of house you build, doesn't it? There are a lot of people in the world today who are more than willing to have Jesus as Savior, but not have Jesus as their master. There are many who are willing to go to church, but not willing to take Christ in the heart to the world that's around them. You see, this is why Jesus would go on to say that it's similar to building houses. What's your house built on? What is it that your house is founded upon? What is it that holds up your house? You know who the rock is that's talked about here? Well, from what Jesus himself says, the rock is the revelation that he gives and the reaction we have to the revelation. Look at the two statements that are made. Now, Jesus in verse 26 talks about it, one who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them. Look at verse 24, one who hears these words of mine and acts on them. What is your response to what Jesus has said in this Sermon on the Mount? What is your response to the words and the challenges that he laid out? What about the ethical standard that Jesus holds up that challenges you to realize that it's not by your own power, but by the power of God that you are able to have the righteousness which exceeds that of the Pharisees? What do you think of that? You see, what Jesus is saying is that no one's good enough on their own. Religious intentions, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons, work many miracles, all of those things are good. And it's better to live life as one who names Christ than not. All of these things are good, but you know, it's the response that you have to Jesus that makes the difference, isn't it? You see, that's what he's saying. You hear the words, what do you do with them? You hear the words, how do you respond? You remember in the last chapter, chapter 6 of Matthew, how Jesus was talking about people that were seeking him. You remember, don't you? He was talking about people who lay aside the worry of what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do, and this and that and the other and every other thing that Satan can throw out there to derail your seeking of God. Lay those things aside and look for him. You remember how he talked about that? Is that how you describe your commitment to Christ? Is that what you are, someone that seeks above all other things? Or if your life's that proverbial pie chart, we all know the pie chart, right? And here you've got the part of your life that's work. You've got the part that's family. You've got the part that's school. You've got the part that's recreation. And over here, you've got the part that's God. And he gets a little section, and everybody else gets a little section. And just like you wouldn't let your work overrun your family life, you wouldn't let your God part overrun the rest of your life. Is that kind of the description that fits, do you think, what Jesus said about these in verse 22? Now, by the way, I want to point out here that this is Jesus talking. And if you ask me if I believe that Jesus knows what's going to happen at judgment, Do I believe that he knows what people are going to say? I'd have to say yes. There's nobody else that's in a position to understand what people are going to say. And Jesus says, not that many might say to me on that day, but many will say to me on that day. And his answer is very clear. In response to the religious efforts of people that do not include the seeking of God above all other things in life, in the answer that he gives, the words are this. Verse 23, Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, Jesus goes on to say, it's kind of like you've got two sets of people here. And one set of people is what we would call wise builders. When they get ready to build a house, they give attention to the foundation. And the foundation has got to be right. It's got to be level. It's got to be strong. It's what anchors the house, for goodness sake. And some people, Jesus says, are like that. You know, he says that's the people that hear what Jesus has to say and then do what Jesus has to say. There's a whole other group of builders in the world, and I watched a house in Washington County one time that was built. And this house, the person that built it didn't give enough attention to the foundation. Within a year of the house being purchased, there was a large crack in the outside wall of the foundation. I drove by it several times and saw the crack begin to grow. And they had to get in people to work on that, you know, with all the jacks and stuff, how they fix these foundation problems. Cost a lot of money. You know, anybody's foundation can be fixed, but you can't persist in a bad foundation and survive in life. A house won't stand on a foundation that's not strong. You've got a choice to make, don't you? We'll talk a little more about that in a few moments right now. A song.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the more sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I'll see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes. Well, the beast from the wild shall be led by a little child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes, there will be peace in the valley for me. For me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I'll see. There will be peace.
valley for me.
So in this story, what Jesus has described is the chosen reaction to his words. I want you to notice something that is very subtle in the story. Even if you don't pay attention to it, you miss a very important part of what Jesus is teaching. You know, both houses were built. You know, there's no doubt that a lot of effort was put into both houses. The house built on the rock, the house built on the sand, it took work to put those houses up. The same storm hit both houses. It's not that the storm was so much worse against the one founded on sand that there just was no way that house could last. No, it's the same storm that hit one, hit the other. It was the outcome that was different. Now, see, that's what Jesus was talking about. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. But that doesn't get you there, does it? The response that you have to Jesus, the possession of Jesus by you, is what makes the difference. At another point in Jesus' ministry, he stepped down on a plane and delivered a lesson, a large flat area, I mean plane like that. Jesus stepped down on that and delivered a lesson that contained some of the same things that were in the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to turn your Bible over to Luke chapter 6, and when you get to Luke chapter 6, note verse 17 to begin with. I don't want you to think I'm making this up about the Sermon on the Mount versus the Sermon on the Plain. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, Jesus came down with them, that is, with the apostles, and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 17 talks about not Jesus going up on the mount setting down, but about him coming down from the mountain on a level place, and he begins to speak. Now, in the process of this speaking, Jesus uses the same illustration that he used in the Sermon on the Mount, but you notice that from verse 17 down to verse 49 of this chapter is not the length of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a different presentation. He uses that story from verse 47 to verse 49 and tells the same effect. It's not unusual for a speaker to use an illustration that works again and again. Jesus does that. But there is something that Jesus says here that he doesn't exactly phrase the same way in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, I want you to see what Jesus says to introduce the illustration. He looks these people, and I can't imagine him doing anything but this. I could be wrong. But he looks these people straight in the eye in verse 46, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Now, notice the similarity. In Matthew 7, it was, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" Here it's, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" If you don't think that what you do has anything to do with salvation, then you have a problem with Jesus right here. And I want you to understand that very clearly, very bluntly. There is not a scripture in the Bible that teaches that you can earn your way into the good grace of God. There is not a scripture that says that you can do enough to be right with God. Absolutely, salvation is by grace. But if you do not act on the words of Jesus, you'll be lost. Now, you see, there's that judgment that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 7 that we talked about last Lord's Day. The judgment that the beam has been removed from the eye, and now the speck needs to be removed from my neighbor's eye. I understand that I am not saved without Jesus. I also understand that I cannot be saved without following him. And I want you to understand that. There is no room for you to be saved and to approach God and say, "I earned my way." But you cannot approach God and say, I refuse the words of Jesus, but I still want to be right with you. You can't reject the Son and accept the Father. In a few moments, we'll end our program right now, another song. What we have accomplished today is realized, a truth that most people don't understand. You must do what Jesus said. Next week on The Word of Life, we'll be talking about the people's reaction to Jesus and to the lesson that he brought. But for this week, remember to pray. God bless you through the week.